We're in the midst of the discussion of the location for the right location for Kfiyas HaMezuzos, Si'ifim, Beis, and Gimel. Epsimin Reish Petes. Last week we had a chance to look at the first of the three dimensions, the question of how deep into the, as you enter the doorway, how deep in do you want to put it in? We saw the up to three different elements that the Gemara raises. It's a question whether all three are independent or not. Chalal HaPesach, and as well as the Tefach HaChitzon, and then also the question of Achori HaDelos. A chance to talk about that last week, whether Achori HaDelos just means not Chalal HaPesach, or whether Achori HaDelos is something dependent, and where they are may also relate, you saw last week, to whether Achori HaDelos is Ma'akev or not. Chalal HaPesach is Mitzvah, Choridels, if it's separate, it's ma'akev, and that in turn drives the question, Machlokas Reshecht and some other posts, you know, what you're doing with these types of doors, the sort of door that swings outward, instead of swinging into the inner room, or the swinging outward, like in a public space, or in the door leading to a stairwell down to basement, where the front of the door is there, because of the way it swings, the front of the door is therefore flush with the front of the doorway. And there, you have to either put it in the door space or behind the door, or in front of the door, facing you rather than in the door space. That was the shayla we had left off with last week. That was, again, the first of the three dimensions, question of how deep. I want to briefly talk about how high, and then really turn our attention to the question of width, the question of the right and left. The Gemara has on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, if you saw a discussion about how high. Machlokas Rishonim and Achronim how to understand the Gemara. So you saw the Gemara talks about Tchilas Shlosha Elyon, and the Gemara talks about discussion amongst the Tanaim whether you want a Dafka to be in the top third, the Shlosha Elyon, and moreover you want Tchilas Shlosha Elyon. So Rashi and Tosfos seem to understand, and the Rush as well. When the Gemara says "Tchilas Shlosha Elyon is lahar chaka," all we're trying to say is it could be anywhere as low as the bottom of the top third, but no lower. Which would mean anywhere in the top third is totally fine. The Rush is of the opinion that anywhere in the top third of the doorway is kosher. Doesn't matter, bottom of the top third, top of the top third. And the Rambam thinks that Tchilas Shlosha Elyon has to be in the top third, that we have a preference. Rambam thinks there's also a preference. Ideally, it should be towards the bottom of the top third. That's one machlokas, the Rambam versus the Rush and the other Chachmei Ashkenaz. And then the second machlokas, in terms of how you understand the Gemara about height, Rondaf Lama Gimel, is whether we want to avoid the Tefach HaElyon. In addition to staying away from the bottom two-thirds, we're also insistent in staying away from the very top Tefach. Then you have Machlokas Rishonim, the Machlokas HaPoskim, had a Paskim on this Machlokas. The Mechaber says, here in Sifbis, is there become Kaviyasa? First, he deals with the question that was last week and how deep. And then he says, "Betchila Shlosha Elyon Gova Hashar." Should be the beginning of the top third. In Kavala Malam is a Cheira, but if it's above the beginning of the top third, also Kasha. Hu Yashiach Rikena Me'amashka Tefach. As long as you're at least a Tefach away from the Mashkov. So you have a doorway. You're going to imagine, let's say, a typical, at least in this part of the United States, a typical doorway is in a home. A private home is usually 6 feet, 9 inches. 81 inches, just for measuring doors. If you're looking at mezuzahs. So that means you can divide into thirds. The whole thing is 81 inches, so 4.5 feet, 54 inches, is going to be two-thirds of the way up. And so the Mechaber Paskin is like the Rambam. That means ideally you want it to be here, but it's kosher, you do want it to be right above the 54-inch mark, it's going to be kosher, even if it's higher, as long as you stay out of the top, the top 3-4 inches, as long as you're at the top, tefach ha'elyon, not to be confused with the tefach ha'chitzon. So the Chabur passes is like the Rambam. Not everyone does. The Shach, as you saw, is not happy with that. The Shach, as you saw, is not thrilled. The Shach is the long, not in the Shach, I'm sorry, Shulchan Aruch, but there's a long Nekudas HaKesef. In the long Nekudas HaKesef, the margin, he doesn't understand why is the Mechaber fine. The Rambam, Rambam is a Miyot. Wow. Thank you.
Wow. This one doesn't work, just the immerser.
Wow, okay. The options, colors.
They all work.
They all work. Wow, okay. Figure out how to deploy our versatility of color best. So the Mechaber is of the assumption that they follow the Rambam. The Shach is unhappy with that. Abu Lamaisa, despite the Shach's concerns, many other poskim do support the Mechaber's pasuk like the Rambam. For instance, the bottom of the page of the Shulchan Aruch, the Birka Yosef, the Chida, says, he says, Arizal Gila Sodo, Shatia Besof Shosha Elyon, Dafka. A Pikaboa, interesting combination here, of the Rambam, the Arizal, supporting the Rambam, against what the Chida describes as important as Minigrova Olam. Most people, he says, most people are not mocked for the Rambam. Most people are following the Shach, to follow the Rosh and the Chacham Ashkenaz. Anywhere in the Shlosha Elyon is fine. And in fact, that is the Birka Yosef's sociological comment about what most people do is true ad hayom hazeh. Because if you may never have thought about this until you learned the sugya, how high do you put a mezuzah? So you start simulation tells you, where do you put the mezuzah? Yeah, you put the mezuzah on the right side. Shine. No, rules and regulations, they're dinim, but all three dimensions. So the truth is, mezuzahs that sort of strike you as looking about right are probably much higher than tchilas shel elyon. If you actually get out a tamei when you're putting up your own mezuzahs or looking for someone else, you have to actually bring one tape measure and measure, and it's a little bit of an optical illusion. When it looks like it's about halfway up the height of the mezuzah, that's when it's actually, by the ruler, by the measuring tape, two-thirds of the way up. 4.5 feet, which I told you the typical tchil shosha elyon, is around shoulder height. It looks really, if you actually measure it, it looks really low. It's an optical illusion because your eyes obviously much closer to the top than the bottom of the doorway. So down below, anything that's farther away looks smaller. That's why you look out the window at the cars down below, they look tiny. So it's an optic, the distance at the bottom of the doorway is shrunken from your perspective. So you can't rely on eyeballing it. You have to actually, if you follow the Rambam, you have to actually measure it. And it's going to look, if you follow the Rambam, most posts can recommend, it's going to look low. You actually take it and measure, and you measure it. And now you'll notice when you go to people's homes who's being machmer for the Rambam and who is not. Again, you do have the Shach, and you have the many Rishonim who assume that all the Shosha Elyon is equally fine. But the Birka Yosef says that he and the Arizal support the Mechaber following the Rambam. And the truth is, it's not all the Chachmei Ashkenaz. If you look in the Hagos Maimini, I think it's Perek Vav Sif Katan Hey, quotes the Riva from the early Baliatosis, who disagreed with the Rush. Shmuel. You got to read it carefully. Is he just commenting on the Rambam, or is he supporting the Rambam? But be that as it may, so many posts, many contemporary posts can suggest be machmir for the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. Again, there's certainly nothing lost by going to Tchilas Rosh HaEliyon, and we would, at the very least, be very concerned about the Tefach HaEliyon. Now, even the Shach, who in the Purus HaKesef isn't so worried about Tchilas Rosh HaEliyon Dafka, even he writes, in Sifkat and Dalet, but if you're going to be below the Shlosh HaEliyon, then it's definitely possible. Lamat Mishlosh HaEliyon is talking the possible. So that, you're certainly going to want to avoid the bottom two-thirds. And we would also avoid the Tefach HaEliyon. And again, many poskim, like the Mechaber, are warm to the Rambam, the Mechaber, the Arizal, the Berke Yosef, the Beis HaLevi also, to prefer, ideally, to be in the Tchilas Shlosh HaEliyon. What that means, practically speaking, is you want to, A, use a tape measure, and B, you want to give yourself a little bit of a cushion. I'm not sure you want to put it, this is a mamish up against the 54-inch line, because again, if you go below that 54-inch line, or whatever the height of your doorway is, then it's mamish possible. I want to give yourself
the
a...
The entire thing has to be a mamish.
Oh, so I think it means that the entire cloth, I don't think the case matters. You know, sometimes the cases are very small. Sometimes the cases are, it's like stone case. The case itself may extend an inch or two or more above and below the cloth. I don't think the case matters. But yeah, the entire cloth ought to be above, comfortably above the Shlish Elyon line. But again, in line with the Mechaber and the Rambam, not too much above that line. Now, two more points, two or three more points about this gova. Different ways, unique doorways and how it plays out. Let's talk about, at least I'll reference, one way in which it plays out, we'll get to Simresh Pevav, is let's say, if it's a door like this, it's nice and rectangular, everything's very smooth. We'll get to in Resh Pei Zayin, is the question of what do you do when the top is rounded? The whole thing is an arch? Or at least if the straight side, then at the top it gets rounded. So obviously that's a further machlokas, Rosh and Rambam, independent of this, in terms of how high do you say the sides go? Where do you draw the line between the mezuzos and the mashkel? Again, here with nice, neat, square angles, so you know what's vertical, what's horizontal. When things get rounded, so we'll get to in Siman Resh Pei Zayin how you figure that out. And one of the nafkaminas in that is going to be how are you measuring Shlosh Elyon. L'hakel l'hachmer, how high is too high, how low is too low. So when we get to Resh Pei Zayin, we'll see about that. In Resh Pei Vav, there is a Pischa Tshuva quotes in the end of Sif Katan Yud. In Resh Pei Vav. Sifkat Yir of Pizchei Tshuva is it's a comment on Sif Yud Aleph in Resh Pei Vav. It's not really so relevant per se to Sif Yud Aleph. We'll get there in Mitzvah Shem Resh Pei Vav. That's a discussion about stores. Whether or not different store spaces, commercial spaces, are chayiv in retail spaces. Whether they're chayiv in mezuzah or not. So the long Pizchei Tshuva. And he raises several issues. The last couple of lines, he has an issue that comes up, at least at the time, used to come up in stores, but nothing to do with whether stores are chayiv or not. It's really a Siman Resh Pei Tes issue. And this is something that comes up not infrequently in Washington Heights apartments. So if you're in for Shabbos, and you get invited for a Shabbos meal at a couple living in one of the apartments across the street, so you're not unlikely you will see this. And that is what the Pischa Tshuva here quotes again, Resh Pei Vav, Sifka and Yud. He quotes the Maharimi Lisa, the Nesivos. In his Siddur Tfila, the Derech HaChaim Siddur, he wrote at the time, the late 1700s, early 1800s, it seems like there was a genre of Sefer writing that had a certain popularity. Just like the last couple of decades, the Kehilchus genre has been very popular. So at the time, around 200 years ago, writing a halacha sefer in the form of a sitter was apparently had a period of popularity. The two most famous ones are the Derech HaChaim sitter of the Nesivos and the Baal HaTanya sitter, both of whom used printing a sitter to include paragraphs of halachic instruction. Sometimes it's just, you know, directly relevant to what happens if you leave out Mashru of Moran HaGeshem, and sometimes it's broader. The Baal HaTanya's Shita Batesa Kochavim, which is actually, incidentally, very similar to the Vilna Gaon Shita on Tesa Kochavim. Some find that ironic. So I don't know how much he talks about it in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but he talks about it by Hadlakas Ne'er Shabbos in his Siddur. So this is another famous comment that Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Derech HaChaim Siddur. And the question was, if you have a doorway that looks like, say, looking, you're standing, looking straight at the doorway, and it looks like this. Here's the mashkof, and here are the sides. This one sort of, it's narrower at the bottom, and then there's like a shelf, and then the doorway extends upward, or something can even be on both sides. The door is narrow at the bottom, and then it sort of moves out at a certain point, and then extends up. So the question is, do you put the mezuzah over here somewhere, or over here somewhere? The bottom element or the top element? So the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Nesivos, it depends if that bottom piece is 10 tefachim high. Bottom piece is 10 tefachim high, we'll see later on, that the minimum height of a Pesach is 10 tefachim. So if the bottom element is 10 tefachim high, then we call that the main mezuzah, and you want to be in the Shlisha Elyon or Tehil Shlisha Elyon right over here of that bottom piece. And that is, you'll see that there are a number of apartments around here that have that. As you make your way around first, definitely I highly recommend you take advantage of the opportunity to stay in Yeshiva for Shabbos. And when you do, you should enjoy meals in the cafe, and you should definitely enjoy meals at the Kohl families in the neighborhood. If you mentioned some, you have very warm memories of meals I spent as a bachur, different homes of people who were then just, you know, fellows in the kol, Rabbi Eliyahu from Kronosberg, you know, David Palmer, v'chulam, very, very special. And you'll also have a chance to discuss Hilchos Mezuzah. And you can ask them shaylos, like, oh, why Mezuzah here, Mezuzah there? Did the previous tenant have the Mezuzah in the same place? Sometimes you'll notice someone has Mezuzah up, and if you look careful, it looks like it used to be higher or lower on the other side. Keep your eyes open. There's a lot to discuss. A lot to talk about over the chant. So one sort of unique situation with Gova is where it's rounded. Another unique situation with Gova is where it's where the two segments to the height of the mezuzah, lower segment that's narrower and an upper segment that's wider. And then finally, there's the issue that Tosis raises from Yerushalmi. The Shach quotes, and that is of a very, very high doorway. A very, very high doorway, then you put a keneged kesef Yosef. You put it at shoulder height. It's interesting because that's a violation. Maybe the Machaber, maybe the Rosh, the Rama were arguing about Tchila Shlisha Elyon versus the rest of the Shlisha Elyon. But even the non-Rambam approach agrees that laharchaka at least means as opposed to below. Now all of a sudden now we're telling you don't put it so high, you put it keneged kesefa. So it seems like sometimes in a chalak, if it's so high, and some of you found in the footnotes in Chavos Hadar, quotes from Avi Nezer, is mamar so high you're not even going to notice it. That doesn't mean the same as above 20 amas. Not near Hanukkah, but really, really high, really out of eyeshot. So then, that trumps the concern of Shlisha Elyon, the psul of the bottom two shlishim. A little hard to understand. So maybe it's somewhat easier to understand. I just found the last couple of days a line in the Sefer Achinuch. I was looking at Sefer Achinuch in Vaschanon, in the mitzvah of Mezuzah, mitzvah Tav Chav Gimel, to see what he says about the Dinei HaMitzvah. He always has four sections. he names and defines a mitzvah, gives you the pasuk, the intro, and then he gives you some of the hashkafa behind the mitzvah, time of the kram, yishar shem mitzvah, and he gives you a rundown of some of the halachic questions, midinei ha-mitzvah, something actually tells you, dinei, something just raises a list of questions, and then finally he wraps up by saying, well, what would it look like to violate the din, what would be the punishment for violating the din, and other specs, does it apply to men, to women, eretz, chutzar, and so forth. So I was looking to see what he says in section 3, dinei ha-mitzvah. But I found something fascinating in Sharash Emitzah, section 2. He speaks along the lines of the Rambam, that we had already seen, the end of Perek Vav, Melachos Mezuzah, but the impact of walking by constantly, repeatedly, walking by Ikari Amunah, and he says, like what the Gemara says. Now, you expect him to quote, we had discussed in the first Chabura, that Kehechid Tifke Mitzitchila, after the language of the Rambam, sounds like he understood in the Gemara two explanations for why the question of depth and the Lechatchi wanted to be in the Tefach Chitzon. So the Rambam understood either one of them is about Shmira, the other one, the Tifke Mitzitchila, the Rambam sounds like it means you're going to even more rapidly bump into these ideas of Amunah. So he sounds like that as well. The Sefer Achinuch, because in the context of this idea that he's saying along the lines of the Rambam, he quotes the second Gemara. He quotes is Mitzal Nich B'Tef Hasamal Rishos Rabin My Taima Rabban Ami Keichel Tifke Be Mitzal Miyad. That's the second Gemara that he quotes, but the first Gemara he quotes that a din of mezuzah that reflects this idea that mezuzah is meant to be an encounter, a repeated encounter with the Emunah is. I'm Reb Zera of Masna Mashmuel, Mitzvah Anicha B'Tchila Shloshel Yom. Isn't that fascinating? Sefer HaChinuch and the Shorash HaMitzvah, Mitzvah Tav Chaf Gimel. So that's the pshat in Tchila Shloshel Yom. So it sheds a lot of light b'chlal. In other words, why do we care about how high, how low b'chlal? Like, what's it all about? The Gemara had taken pains to explain what's driving the rationale that's driving Hadi. You never really explain. The guard just gets into the shushal yonah, harchaka, this, that. What's it all about? So he's saying this is also about maximizing the right height to maximize the encounter, the interaction you have with the mezuzah, so that it'll drive you more to think about the ideas. After that, the chalal is fascinating. And then he also uses the language of Tchilas Shlishal Yom. He uses, make sure to include that term. And I wonder whether that reflects specifically the Shitas HaRambam, and that explains the Shitas HaRambam. In other words, the reason why you want not only the top third, as opposed to down below, which really feels quite low, but also, even within the top third, ideally, this whole notion of the Rambam, that there's sort of three levels. There's ideal and suboptimal and not yotze at all. So once a Sefer HaChinuch puts this din of height in the context of Keichid Tifke Mitzatchila, and that means what the Rambam understood to mean, the encounter, maximizing your encounter with the mezuzah and with the ideas of the mezuzah, so then it makes we understand it very well. The Bam Tu Shlishim is mamash out of sight. So that's possible. Top third already is near eye level, and ideally you want to be Tchil Shoshal Yom, which is going to be you're going to notice the most. Then it may also helps us understand the Yerushalmi. Number one, the notion of Yerushalmi, that if it's a very high doorway, so you want it to be kinetic safe. Okay, because again, it's a very high doorway. You're going to miss that. If you put it all the way up top, you're going to miss the encounter. And you also understand maybe a little bit more of the mechanics of, you told me that the Shnei Shlishim Tachtonim, Shlish Tachtonim, Shlishim Tzayder Pasol, well, all of a sudden now you're telling me I'll put it there. Why? The answer is because it's the impression you get from the Sefer HaChinuch is it's all the same issue. We want it to be where you're going to see it. Usually the way Din Doraisa, Din Drabanan, maybe Chazal set up is Shlish Elyon, specifically Tchil Shlish Elyon. But if it's talk of very tall doorway, so then you have to that's no longer going to work. Again, like I told you, at least contemporary doors in this part of the world, Tchil Shlosh Elyon is at shoulder height. At least, maybe I'm sure. So maybe for some of you it'll be below shoulder height. But it's in roughly in that zone. So a normal doorway, Tchil Shlosh Elyon is Kenegik Seifav, that's what you want. Maybe if the door is a little bit higher, you still stick with the rule of Tchil Shlosh Elyon. If it's really very, very, very high, then we dispense with the numbers and dispense with the measuring tape and just say, forget about the height of the doorway, figure out the proportions, just have it Kenegik Seifav. So they're all, it's consistent, it's more coherent, I should say, because it's all about the same issue. Yeah, you know what I'm
Yeah,
why? Again, I don't know if it's derived from Rabbanan, but let's assume it's Rabbanan. Why did Chazal set up a Tchil Shlosh Elyon? Bechlal, why did they always say Kenegik Seifav? I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Unless that was more of a milsa de psika. Again, one of the issues you've seen in all these is well, how about this guy's a lefty and that guy's a righty, so it could be to some extent we'd rather have clearly defined the milsa de psika, clearly defined rule. Here's your dore, measure and go. So they're saying, my shoulders, your shoulders, some discussion about it. Most of the people in the house are midgets, or for most people in the house are children, for that matter. The children are not chayav in the mitzvah, maybe. It's not about Torah, but adult midgets are. And so how would you handle that? So and even without extremes, you know, there are ranges of heights. In this room, there are ranges of heights. I'm a proud member of the Short People's Club. Baruch Hashem, some proud members of the Tall People's Club, and everyone in between. So it could be that it's easier. Sure, if it's Dindra Banan, it would not be surprising. Chazal would rather have a Milsa de Psika. They say, nine times out of ten, 99 times out of 100, he's going to put a Tchil Shlosh Elyon. Again, archaeologists often use residential structures that they find, homes that they uncover, to try to recreate how big and tall people were, because it reflects people's body size. As very, very tall doorways are very, very rare. Okay, so Beis HaMikdash, Pesach HaUlam was 40 amos. And Lahavda, Alfi Avdalos, you'll have other grand buildings where things are unusually tall. But the vast majority of the, think about it, how many doorways have you walked through the last year that were really, really tall? Probably very few, for good reason. Usually people build doorways to fit people comfortably. So I said, B'derech Klal, the vast majority of the time, those are shchicha, is that Tchil Shlosh Elyon will work well. Shlosh Elyon, Tchil Shlosh Elyon. And then the Yerushalmi says, okay, B'nachanami, if you have one of those unusual doorways that's a very exaggerated height, so then in B'nachanami, then you ignore, that's the asterisk. Then you ignore Shlosh Elyon and you just put a kinetic safe. Yeah.
Who's the Shach asking, like, he's going like the other Rishonim against the Rambam, then he's, at the very least, he's disagreeing with the Torah's understanding of the Rishonim, because the Torah thinks that below, or like that the other.
That they wouldn't passel.
Yeah, but the Shach agree with the Rambam that below the Shlosh Elyon is passel, but he can go above the Shlosh Elyon, that's not a big deal.
Yeah. It's an interesting question. So does that mean that the Shach had a different understanding of the sugya, or does it mean that the Shach wasn't scared of the Rambam when it's just the Chatchila issue, but he was more scared of the Rambam when it's Bidyat? In other words, Rambam thinks that we should, even the Rambam agrees that all the Shlosh Elyon, except the Tefach Elyon, is Kasha. So Rambam thought that there's a preference for Tchil Shlosh Elyon. But here, right, the bottom two Shlishim, you got to read through the. I think maybe more fundamental. I believe if you have to read through the Medrash HaKesef carefully, I think this is a shita. I don't think it's just a question of how he's being machria. I believe he assumes that we don't have a preference for Tchil Shlosh Elyon, but I think he does assume bevadai. I believe that the Shlosh Emtzayim, the Shlosh Tachton is absolutely possible. Sage, you have a question?
Yeah, is there a getter for like really, really high?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. The Chofetz Chadar quotes Aven Ezer, who works on that. He says it's not just that the Tchilas Shel Shalim is above your shoulders. It says really, really high. That's out of. It's not something that you're normally noticing. So I don't think he assumes that you need to be. That means over 20 amos. I don't think this is like Ner Chanukah or Mavoi.
Someone else there says 20 amos.
Someone else,
a different opinion, says
20 hours. Yeah, I don't think it is. I think it is. It's really, really high. It's above your head. I'm not sure what the gun would be. I want to stick to what I promised, which is that we'll spend a little time on Govan. Let's turn our attention to Yamin, which comes up a lot. Yamin comes up a lot, and it's intriguing. It's intriguing, and going back to the point that you just made, Kiva, this is the one issue that everyone agrees is ma'akev. The one issue that everyone agrees is ma'akev, more as beferish, keval b'smol, you're not yotze. Yamin is, and again, as we mentioned a couple minutes ago, where Shlusha Elyon, for instance, comes from, and is it Dereisa Rabbanan, not 100% clear, but the Gemara is quite clear that Yamin is Likuva and that Yamin is Doraisa. You're not Yotzei, sounds like Neo Torah, if you put it this small. And that's the Drasha of Beisecha Biascha. So this is a pretty important issue. And the problem is, it's a pretty important issue, and it's also, in many ways, the trickiest issue. So you're really playing with fire. You got to get this right. Now, and it's important to understand a little bit of Taramada here. Many years ago, probably 20 years ago, so I found in the library, some of still have in the collection, a monograph by a professor of archaeology, an Israeli professor of archaeology by the name of Yitzhar Hirschfeld. Yitzhar Hirschfeld wrote a monograph entitled, I think it was Palestinian Homes in the Roman Period, otherwise known as Homes in Eretz Yisrael, B'tkufas HaMishnah. Palestinian homes, Palestinian residences in the Roman period. And a lot of fascinating material. He had done a lot of digs and surveyed other digs that had been done, sort of looking throughout the homes that had been uncovered in throughout Eretz Yisrael from the Roman period, from B'tkufas HaMishnah, the Bayesheni period, B'tkufas HaMishnah. So there are a number of interesting mezuzah ha'aris. Well, there are at least two that are relevant actually to this siman. One that's relevant right now is really pretty simple, but it's important just for context. And that is, he talks about the typical layout of the Palestinian home. The typical layout of homes in Eretz Yisrael at the time was a four-room house, and it usually looked like this. So you had your front room that you came into, and from there you went into the chadar, the bayis lechadar. You went from the big room, walking the outside into the big room, and then there are three smaller rooms, three back rooms, that come off of the main front room. And that's how your typical home looked. That's how the homes are most typically built, the B'tkufas HaMishnah in Eretz Yisrael, Palestinian residences in the Roman period. So if you have that type of house, everything seems pretty straightforward. Not too hard to figure. Offhand, it's not too hard to figure out what's Yamin HaKnisa from the outside to Bayis, and then Bayis L'cheder. Sure. So it's Going in here. So here will be the thank you for the multi colors. So if you're going Yamin HaKnisa, you're going in over here, so this is the right. You're looking from the left, that's because of the way it's laid on the board, right? So if you're walking in, this is the right. And here you're walking in, this is the right. Here you walk be Bayis L'cheder, be Bayis L'cheder. It's all very straightforward. So on Daf Lamed Aleph, everything is very, very straightforward. At the end of the sugya, when the Gemara comes to some of the drushas, in Resh Pehele, it seems the drusha that Yachalich the Ben Alvanim. So right before that, you have the drusha about a little bit before that, in the middle of Lamed Aleph, You have the drasha that appears several places in Shas, that we darshan from Beisecha be Asecha, the way you come in, on the right side, coming in. Good, Gemara works after the Pesuk. Another Pasuk in the Lachim. Okay. So, in this sort of simple home that there was typical B'tkuvas HaMishnah, it wasn't hard to figure out what Yamin means. Then, you have the Gemara and Daflam and Gimel. The Gemara and Daflam and Gimel, as you saw, talks about Heker Tzir. Heker Tzir. Halach Acher Heker Tzir. The Gemara had two rules, one after the other, that both start with similar phrasing. Further down the but further down the Amud Gimel, you have Amr Yehud Amar Rav B'mezuzah Halach Acher HaRagil. Follow what's Ragil. We'll get to that Simen Reish Hey Vav. We'll figure out what that means. But that when we talk about it in a little bit, in a couple of minutes, a little bit more. Towards the top of Lamed Gimel Aleph, you have Amr Yehudah Meshmuel. That was Amr Yehudah Merav. That's Amr Yehudah Meshmuel. B'mezuzah halach acher heketir. The word mezuzah follow heketir. Very similarly phrased the rules. What does it mean to follow heketir? So first the girl wants to know what is a tzir. So they translated it. Tzir is an avaksa, which is helpful if you speak Aramaic. If you don't speak Aramaic, so it's good to know that tzir are hinges. So the hinges are a heker. The hinges will indicate something about the mezuzah. And then the Gemara says, well, what's the case? Hechidami? The pischa de bein beit trebati, bein beit garbi, bein nashi. Like the case, the situation where you have two rooms, the beit garbi and the beit nashi, the men's room and the women's room, and the door between them, that's where heker tzir is relevant. Okay. So what's this supposed to tell me? And then the Gemara tells a story about Rav Nachman, called in by the Reish Galus to put a mezuzah in the new house he's building, and Rav Nachman shows up and says, Reish Galus, I can't help you yet, because you haven't put up the dashi. First put up the dashi, and then we can talk. What does that mean? At least three different approaches we've shown him. Tosus understands that, well, some other time we'll get to Rashi and to the Rambam. The Tosfos understands that this is a hemshach of the Gemara. We already told you need Heker Tzir to figure out how you put up mezuzahs. So Nachman says, Reish Galusa, you don't have doors up yet. So I can't see which way the doors swing. No doors, no hinges, no Heker Tzir. We're not yet ready to put up the mezuzahs. Heker Tzir is really important. Okay. So what does this all mean? So Rashi starts explaining that this is a detail within the principle of yamin and small. This is a detail to figure out which is yamin, which is small. And Rashi talks about that here on this Gemara Lama Gemara Alf. Rashi, it's important to note, talks about, I don't remember if I put in the Maram Komas or not. I think I actually did not, because he talks about it again in the Bava Lama Gemara Beis, but it's a hard Gemara to read until we've learned some more of Simon Reish Pevav material. But so I don't know, he could have left it out in the Maram Komas. Rashi, the very bottom of Lama Gemara Beis, comes back to this issue of Heker Tzir. And when does Heker Tzir tell you which way is right and left? So what Rashi tells me is the following. Number one, Heker Tzir is going to help me. Remember, I have two rooms. And I have a door. So the door, usually, the door only swings one way. Like this door, only swings out. Does not, no matter how hard you pull, it doesn't swing in. So most doors that swing only swing one way. So here I have a door that could either be like this or it could swing that way. And that means that the hinges the door swings that way, that means the hinges are over here. That's how it's turning. So a door will turn into the room, into the side where the hinges are located. That's swinging around the hinges. The hinges over here, that means it swings here. The hinges were over here, the door would swing that way. So Rashi explains that you're trying to figure out which way is in and which way is out, So sometimes you'll follow the way the door swings. The way the door swings. If I'm not sure which is right and which is left, or I should say I'm not sure which is in and which is out, I got to have the front door of the house from the outside into the house, a one-room schoolhouse, so I know which way is going in. Going in means from the outside into the house. But what do I do, says Rashi, when I have two different rooms, I have the door between two different rooms. Shall I look at this door as going into the hallway? Or shall I look at this door as coming into this room? If it's going into the hallway, then I should put the mezuzah on the right side, going into the hallway. If I see this door as a door coming into the room, but as it is, on the right side coming into this room. So how do I know which is in and which is out? So Rashi says, that's the sugya lama gimel aleph. Halav hacha hekertz here. You're not sure which is the main kenisa, but look at the way the door swings. So if the door, this door swings into the hallway. So hekertz here would tell me that the main orientation of the door is going in to the hallway. I Fred Gavi, we didn't do that. Right? The mezuzah isn't following hekertz here. So the Mordechai is medayik in the Rashi and Daf Lamed Gimel, and Rashi himself more or less says it, or at least says it more clearly than he does Lamed Gimel Aleph on Lamed Gimel Beis, the very bottom Lamed Gimel Beis, that the Gemara gave a heichi dummy. Why does Gemara give a heichi dummy? The mezuzah lacha achareket tzir. I understand. You don't know what the word tzir means. You translate it to avaksa. Okay. But we have to give a hei chidam. What's the case? Keitzan? Between Beit Gav and Beit Nashi. What's added by that? So the Mordechai points out, and Rashi himself says that in Lamagim Abayz, the Mordechai points out in Lamagim Abayz, that's the impression you get from Rashi, is that it's not just any two rooms. It's specifically Beit Gav and Beit Nashi. So what's Beit Gav and Beit Nashi? So Rashi gives us two details about Beit Gavri Beit Nashi. Let's say this is Gavri and this is Nashi. So Rashi says, number one, Rashi stresses that each one, Rashi says Beferish, each one has an entrance from the outside. That is, neither one is a dead-end room. Oh. And then Rashi also seems to stress, and Mordechai brings this out, and Rashi highlights this on Gilman Bez, is not only are they each have an independent entrance from the outside, but also they're both very significant rooms. The Beit Gavri is the front room, that's the public room, where you're meeting with other people. And the back room is a family space that the family is using intensely. Wife is using, the family is using. So both rooms are used very intensively. So what the Mordechai says, and that's what the Shach quotes here, in Simon Rishpei Tassif Gimel, is there's a rule of Hekers here. It is a factor to determine which is in and which is out, and therefore right and left, but it comes below a lot of other things. Number one, obviously it's an inner room, so it's not my avir labayis. From the outside in is rule number one. From the outside going into the house, there's no contest. I'm talking about going into the outside. The outside is not chayav mezuzah, and it's not inside, it's outside. So the most obvious rule is the Arvel Abayis, that's the most dominant determinant of what's the orientation of the doorway. And then, number four. The Mordechai indicates, that, as Rashi says, the Hekert Seer only applies when I can't look at Kol HaKnisa. But neither room is a dead-end room. If either room is a dead-end room, so of course, as they remember, you remember Yitzhak Hirschfeld, they had dead-end rooms, of course it's made bias l'cheder, from the outer room to the inner room. Of course that's kinesa. The only way to get through this doorway initially is from the bias to the cheder. Unless you're jumping through a window or climbing through the roof, obviously your initial entrance, your initial pass-through of this doorway is always from the outer room to the inner room. We call that kol haknisa. So that's number two factor. And then factor number three, the Mordechai draws from Rashi, and that's Rashi is saying, the Gemara. Dafim megavim lebeinashi. Mean that both of them are significantly used. Rasha'enu came, if there is an ikar tashmish, if one room is used much more than the other, so then that's going to be more important than Hekert's here. So this is what Rashi and the Mordechai, the Shach say. Now that's my hierarchy of rules to determine which direction, what's the orientation of a door, which way do I call Knisa versus Yitzia, so that I know what's Yemin HaKnisa. And that's how they're reading this Gemara of Hekertzir. Avra Labayis, and then you have Kol HaKnisa, the dead end room. If it's between those, if it's an outer door, so of course it's going to the house. If it's an internal door, but it's into a dead end room, Kol HaKnisa, of course the turn. If it's an internal doorway and neither one is a dead end room, between the living room and the dining room, and I could get in from the outside to either room some other way, neither room is dead end room, then I look at Ikar Tashmish. If it's like Begavri, Beinashi, they're both very important. I can't say one room is used much more than the other. So then the bottom of the pile is Ikar Tzir. That's the way Rashi the Mordechai present it, and that's what the Shach quotes. Now, not everyone agrees. It should be noted that if you look in the tie, it's interesting, before we get to everyone who agrees, just think about this logically, as on the one hand, so we understand the logic of Rashi and Mordechai and the Shach. What's Hekert's here already? Like, you're trying to figure out which is in and which is out, so all these other factors are much more significant and natural and meaningful. Obviously from the outside in, obviously going into a dead end room, it's going in. And Hekar Tash, they're going into the main room, I understand. Hekar Tzir, what did Hekar Tzir do already? The way the door swings, that tells you which way is in, which way is out. Sometimes. Okay, maybe. It's a very slight indicator. So that's why these Rishonim said, yeah, Hekar Tzir is the bottom of the pile. When all else fails, when it's basically even, so then you go with Hekar Tzir. On the other hand, the Gemara doesn't present it that way. Misvara, on the other hand, and the Gemara says, the mezuzah halacha hekert here. The rule is hekert here. It doesn't sound like it's the last rule on the list that comes up once in a long, long while. The mezuzah halacha hekert here. So, now again, the Rashi Mordechai would say, yeah, but the Gemara followed up with the Hechidami. So the Hechidami limited it. If you look at the Maharil, though, and Shuvas Maril that the Kovas Hadar was kind enough to print fully in the back, right after Hilfus Mezuzah. The Taz quotes him. So he seems to say the Hekert Tzir is number three. He says, from the outside in, of course, is always from the outside in. And he says, Kol HaKnisa also. He says, into a dead end room, I don't care which way the door swings. And again, that's going to become a frequently in public spaces. This classroom happens to have two doorways, so there is no Kol HaKnisa because the two ways to get in. Let's say you have a smaller classroom that only has one doorway in, so as we said, modern fire code in a public space demands that the doors swing outward into the hallway. So, like you see over here. So, the Maharil agrees, the Maharil Mataz agree with the Rashi, the Mordechai, and the Shach, that Kol HaKnisa trumps Hekert's here. If it's a dead end room, I don't care which way the door swings, Knisa is going in. But he says, rule number three is Hekert's here. I don't care about Iker Tashmish. And it's interesting, if you read the Tshuva, the Shoel raises the issue. Hey, hard to, takes time to sort of map out exactly what the Shoel's architecture looked like. And it sounds like Maril is saying, if I understood you right, you're talking about the Maril also wasn't 100% sure exactly what the Shoel was describing. It's a confusing description. But what is clear is that the Shoel is concerned about Iker Tashmish. And he's raising this issue, Iker Tashmish, Hekertir, how do they all fit together? Maril totally ignores Iker Tashmish. It's striking. And then, at the Chovos Hadar quotes a position, Masora in Lubavitch. Masora from the name of the Rebbe Rashab, Hulamala Bakodesh. What's Minhag Chabad? So Rabbi Willow tells a story that he was once, many, many years ago, I think back when his daughters were in Stern, so he, Makar Satov, during those years he came to teach Halacha Shirim in Stern. He was once giving a Hilchas Mezuzah Shirim in a classroom in Stern. And he's explaining about all the rules and that Hekertzir is less important than Kol HaKnisa. And that's why, if you look at the door, you'll see that the mezuzah is on the right side pointing in. And they look at the door, and there's this awkward moment when the mezuzah is on the right side pointing out. And for a moment, I will say he was like a little taken aback, a little stymied, what's going on? And then he realized that the rav who had handled putting up all the mezuzahs in that building was a Lubavitcher Talmud Chacham. So he had followed Lubavitcher Pesachim. Lubavitcher's hold, this is this tradition. I don't think it appears in Shulchan Harav, which is interesting. I remember correctly, the Baal Tanya does not say this. But I got to double check. But there, at least in among the later Rebbes, from the sort of the middle of the Rebbes, for the Rebbe Rashab Ulamal Bakadish, Hekertzir is rule number two. Any internal doorway, the Chabad makes Hekertzir even more important than Maril does. Any inner doorway, if there's a door that swings, you always follow Hekertzir. So if you have a classroom, it's not like this classroom, a simple classroom with one door, it's a Kol HaKnisa. If the door swings out, as it needs to, based on fire code, the mezuzah is pointing out into the hallway. Because for Chabadniks, the only time you ignore Hekertzir is Me'aber Labayis. The only time you ignore Hekertzir is a door from the outside, from the outdoors in. That comes up, by the way, in South Florida, probably in other areas also, but I know in South Florida, the building codes require that the external doors of the house swing out. If you live in this part of the country, you don't even pay attention, but it's intuitive. You come to the front door of the house and you push. Right? But in South Florida, you come to the front of the house and you pull. Why? Because of hurricanes. Because if the door swings in, then there's always a concern that even if it's bolted, if the storm is strong enough, it could just push the door in, then everything gets flooded. Whereas if the door swings out, that means the door frame, not just a bolt, the whole door frame is supporting the door. It's almost impossible, unless the door itself cracks, it's almost impossible for the door to fly into the house. That's a safety measure. So even Chabad would put the mezuzah on the front door going into the house, the right side going in, even in South Florida where the door swings out. But again, that's the question of where does Hekertzir lie. Now, when you come back to the poskim tend to accept this approach of the first approach that we sketched, Rashi, the Mordechai, and the Shach. And there's one more tweak that needs to be, one or two more tweaks that need to be added. But before that, I want to just address the fact that all of this has been working within the framework of Rashi. I forget who it is who points out, maybe it's Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik who points out that the Rambam is the one major Rishon that we spend a lot of time learning who didn't have Rashi in front of him. As Baalei Tosfos and the later Chachmei Sfarad and the Chachmei Provence, the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ritva, and the Raman, the Baal Amar, they all had Rashi. So they might agree, they might disagree. They didn't necessarily feel kafuf to him. But if they disagreed, they knew they were disagreeing with Rashi, and they would point it out. And the way they phrase their shita will be in conjunction with or in contrast to Rashi. Hashem came the Rambam, who had a Rimadash in front of him, had a Riff in front of him, didn't have Rashi in front of him. So very often they'll be starting from a different place and won't even feel the need to point it out. And I think this is one of those examples. Because if you look at the Rambam, it's intriguing. Many of our Rebbeim based Brisk trained us to notice the sequencing of where things appear. The Rambam, the Piskarav, in the first piece in the Sefer, I think, right, Hilchos Tavo Torah, points out that where the Rambam puts something is tells you what sort of din he thinks it is. There's one paragraph about Kavod Rabbo, another paragraph about Kavod Talmud Chacham. You have to pay attention to in what paragraph does he quote a Gemara. That tells you if he thinks it's a din in Rabbo or just in Talmud Chacham. Beis Halevi points out that we'll get to this Bli Neder 2 years from now, we learn Hilchos Mila. That there's a Bryson, Masachah Shabbos, Kufla Megimel, that Rashi understands is talking Dafka doing a meal on Shabbos. You do a meal on Shabbos, so here are some of the rules. Tzitzin Shein Machman, Tzitzin Machman. The details are not relevant right now. But what's intriguing, basically, he points out, Rashi says, B'Shabbos. Sorry. The Rambam, he points out, there are those who pointed out before as well, Rambam quotes that Gemara before he ever mentions the din of Mila B'Shabbos. Clearly, he doesn't think that Gemara is limited to Mila B'Shabbos. It's all week long, and that requires understanding of v'chulu v'chulu. So that's what's going on here also, because the Rambam in the Perek Vav Lach Yirav quotes the din of the two dinim, Ragil, the two dinim the Gemara had on Laman Gimel, with the same, we had noticed the same language, Halacha Harag, Halacha Haratzir. Rambam puts them both in Halach Yirav. Follow the tzir. Okay. The place the tzir is, that's where you put the mezuzah. Okay. The very next halachi days is Heichan Kovas HaMezuzah. Halachi days is what we've been dealing with. How high, how deep, and which side. Meaning, the Rambam quotes Hekratin Halachi Yid Aleph before he's ever told you that there's a need to have the mezuzah on the right side. He only gets to that Halachi days. So you look at it and say, we just sort of assume the Hekrat Seer is one of the rules and he made his fall. Why? Because that's what Rashi told us. That's not what the Rambam thinks. Doesn't look at all at the Rambam thinks. Otherwise, why he should have mentioned Yamin Small first and then afterwards mention Hekar Tzir, the way the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch do. Siv Beis is Yamin Small, and then Siv Gimel is, here's the detail, Hekar Tzir. So then the question is, what does Hekar Tzir mean? So Aryeh Berman pointed out that that the Beis Yosef in the Bet HaKabayis quotes Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Yeruchim seems to have had a different take on what the case is. That the case of Hekar Tzir is not Rashi's case, that it's an inner door between two rooms, but instead it's one door that opens into two parallel rooms. In other words, it looks like this. This is Hekar Tzir l'fi Rashi. This is Hekar Tzir l'fi Rabbeinu Yeruchim. I don't know why, but you'll see Reish Yud Vav stands for Rabbeinu Yeruchim. I'm not sure where that came from, but that's a convention. Reish Yud Vav is Rabbeinu Yeruchim. That's what the Beis Yosef is quoting. I have a doorway that leads into two side-by-side rooms, sort of almost like the front door of a two-family house, but imagine you have, instead of each one having its own door, there's one door that goes across the two of them. You open that door, and now you have two side-by-side doors facing you. So the Rabbi Yeruchim sounds like the question is not which direction, but which door gets the mezuzah. That happens to be, by the way, very similar to when we get to Halacha HaRagil. There, too, it's a question, I have two doorways into the same room, which one gets the mezuzah? So the Rambam, Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and I would suggest the Rambam, also understood that Hekar Tzir isn't on this list at all. It doesn't belong in Siman Reish Pei Tes, so to speak. It belongs in Siman Reish Pei Vav. It's not a question of how do I put the mezuzah on this doorway. It's a question of which doorway is chayav mezuzah. I have these two doorways side by side. You see, and also Hekar Tzir, we're not looking at does it swing this way in or out, but a question of which side are the hinges on, the right side or the left side. So if the door swings like this versus if the door swings like that, and that's going to tell me which of these two parallel side-by-side doorways is the main one. So again, Rein Rukam explicitly understands the din of Heker Tzir to be unrelated to Yamin and Smol. It's not a question of which way is Knisa, which way is Yitzia, how you put the mezuzah on the doorway, but rather which doorway is Chayev and which of the two doorways is Pater. I would suggest that the Rama probably understood the Gemara either the same as Rein Rukam or in a similar vein, and that's why he understandably, number one, puts it side by side with Ragil, and puts it before Heichan Kovas HaMezuzah, because it's what we call Reish Pei Vav, rather than Reish Pei Tes, it's earlier in Perek Vav, as opposed to Perek Vav Halacha Yud Beis. Let me just mention two more Nekudos, very important Halacha Meis, and this will wrap things up. There's a fifth condition. I told you we poskim assume like Rashi and Marcha and Lashach. There is, however, that generates four conditions. The Avra Labayis, Kolach Misa, Iker Tashmish, and Heker Tzir. There is a fifth condition the post can talk about. The Chovas Hadah points at that the Minchas Yitzchok, Dayan Weiss talks about it, and Shechter points out that Dayan Weiss's Mechutin, Yaakov Breish, the Chalkis Yaakov, also spoke about it. More on that in a moment. And that is Rov HaKnisa, the primary traffic. Kol HaKnisa is when I have a dead-end room. So if I have a dead-end room, an inner room, an outer room, the first, coming from the outside into the house, my first time walking through this doorway is obviously always from the outer room to the inner room. That's Kol HaKnisa. We assume that's rule number two. Unless you're Chabad, that's rule number two, Kol HaKnisa. But it's not Kol HaKnisa, but it's Rov HaKnisa. In other words, I have here I have a living room, and here I have a dining room, and here I have a kitchen. And you can go in either way. But let's say I'm more likely most of the time on Shabbos, maybe I go straight into the dining room and then from there into the kitchen. But during the week, I rarely go into the dining room first. I'm more likely to get to the kitchen some other way, let's say through the living room or through the back door, and then I go from kitchen to dining room. So I could go either way, but which one is my more likely initial pass-through? Do I, first time I walk through this door, I have to come from the outside, more likely to be going from dining room to kitchen or kitchen to dining room? That's Rov HaKnisa. In many houses, Rov HaKnisa, in many houses, the way I just described, you're more likely to end up at the kitchen first and then the dining room, which means Rov HaKnisa is from kitchen to dining room. Here's what's tricky. For the same reason, if you have a dining room that's only used on Shabbos, Iker Tashmish is the kitchen. The kitchen is in use for hours every day. The dining room in many homes is only used on Shabbos. So Iker Tashmish points the opposite direction. And it's often going to be the case that the room that's Iker Tashmish, so Iker Tashmish points into the main room, but you're more likely to end up in the Iker Tashmish room first and then in the other room second. So Rov HaKnisa often will point out of the Iker Tashmish room into the less important room, which is not always the case, but it's often the case. So the post can assume there is a rule of Iker Tashmish, and the question is, does it go over here or does it go over here? Is Iker Tashmish number three and Rov HaKnisa is number four, or is Iker Tashmish, or Rov HaKnisa is number three and Iker Tashmish is number four? That's the question. The post can all assume that Heker Tzir is at the bottom of the barrel. So that's a big machlokas. Chovas Hadar talks about Chovas Hadar. It seems like he's in favor of, I believe, Rov HaKnisa is number three, Iker Tashmish is number four. I think Shechter points out that Dayan Y, I told you they were machtanim. They had their children married each other. So apparently the story goes, one of them showed up to the kids' apartment and said, "Oh, the mezuzah should be this way." And the other one came to visit. Other set of parents came to visit a couple weeks later and said, "Oh, the mezuzah should be the other way," because it turned out it was Machlekes is Dayan Weiss and Yaakov Breish. Which one is number three? Which one is number four? Iker Tashmish versus Rov HaKnisa. Rabbi Neuberger's argument in favor of Rova Knisa being more important is that it's a takeoff on Kala Knisa, and that after all, ultimately, it's all about Knisa. That is the din. Yemin HaKnisa. These are all just different ways to figure out what is the Knisa. So I believe that's part of what the Dine Weiss's argument also. Knisa is what it's all about. If I can't figure out Knisa, then let me look at side things. Iker Tashmir, Shekher Tzir, but it's fundamentally about Kala Knisa. Shechter is a proponent of Iker Tashmir, which is more important than Kala Knisa, than Rova Knisa, especially since the Rishonim see it, the Rishonim talk about it, and they see it in the Gemara, so you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi which way you should put mezuzah. And finally, the other hanging issue is what do you do when none of the rules apply? When there's no Iker Tashmish, because Iker Tashmish only means there's a stark, severe difference. Not 2 hours a day here, 1 hour a day there. But like, you use the dining room on Shabbos, you use the kitchen every day, so you often don't have Iker Tashmish, and sometimes you want to have Rova Knisa. And there may not be a door, or the door swings both ways, or it's a bead door. And there is no Heker Tzir either. So there's different approaches in the poskim, whether you put up both ways, or you get to choose, or maybe you're putter. Maybe there is no yamin, and therefore, is yamin just a detail, or is yamin part of the gather achiv? If there is no yamin, there is no chiv whatsoever. So that is a sugya in a nutshell. And one final practical point, I know you guys have to run to class, and that is, practically speaking, when you put up mezuzahs, often when you move into an house, you don't yet know which way Rov HaKnisa is going to be. It takes time to break and cast and figure out what the traffic pattern is going to be like. So often we recommend is people should try to guess and put up with scotch tape. And then in a couple months from now, once you've broken into the house, you'll figure out whether you're nailing it up that way or you're taking off and nailing it up on the other side. I'm glad we are caught up.
I don't get it.